address their problems as sharply as you can. Because sometimes I've seen so many interviews that are just like random conversations. So they go around and around and around. Like they cover so many topics, but they say nothing in depth at the end. So make sure your interviews are well-structured, well-prepared, and they revolve around a single particular topic that aims to help the audience solve a problem or achieve a goal.
Welcome to the Anthropology Podcast. I'm your host, Megan Walker. As a former naturopathic doctor and anthropologist, I align the intersection of personal performance, purpose, and innovative thinking in badass women working to change the world as entrepreneurs and go-getters. Anthropology is the study and science of what makes an entrepreneur think, feel, and perform in a path compelled by a vision for helping others, solving problems, while building a life on your own terms. Together, we are exploring the health, mindset, and strategies that distinguish the world's best entrepreneurs. This is the Anthropology Podcast. Welcome to episode 226 of the Anthropology Podcast. This episode is a direct reflection of a question that I have been receiving a ton of in my DMs and in my inbox and honestly through all of our platforms. And that is, I want to start a podcast. Can I pick your brain? And I have a lot to say on starting a podcast, but sometimes it's better to just bring in the experts. And that's exactly what we did today. I am joined on the podcast today by David Perez. David is a podcast coach. He has his own podcast where he discusses the ins and outs of launching, producing, and growing a podcast. And we're going to get into the nitty-gritty of what it takes to start, how to define your audience, how to create a podcast that actually has longevity, and how to leverage that podcast to grow your business. It was an amazing conversation, so much actionable advice. It is my pleasure to introduce you to David Perez. David Perez, welcome to the Anthropology Podcast.
Thank you very much for having me, Megan.
I'm excited to have this conversation. Before we jumped in, I was talking a little bit about our audience, and I was sharing that I work with a lot of practitioners. And one of the things we're noticing amongst our cohort of clinicians that we work with, everyone wants to start a podcast. I'm not sure if we're looking for projects because we're at home with the pandemic, or we're like, I've got thoughts and ideas I want to put out into the world. And so I'm really excited to have you here today for us to talk all things podcasts, for us to talk about, how do we make our shows effective? How do we get started? All the technical pieces. But I'm wondering, before we do that, David, can you share a little bit with my audience who you are and why you're uniquely positioned to have this conversation?
Absolutely. Okay. I'm a podcast producer. That's the tag. That will be the easiest to identify. So I take care of helping coaches, particularly coaches in the health and wellness industry, but I also work with coaches in other areas. I help them with starting and running their podcast shows, because usually if you are an expert in nutrition or adult care, or I don't know, children education, you're an expert in that area, but you're not expert in podcasting. And podcasting, just like any other form of content creation, demands some technical knowledge and skills. And some people just hate it. They like creating the content, having the conversations, but they have no idea about how to edit a piece of audio. Or maybe they do like it, but they don't have the time to do it. And there are other technical stuff involved. So I just make the process as hands-free as possible for whoever wants to run a podcast.
I love that. Someone has asked me the other day, they're like, can you give me some pointers on how to get started with my podcast? We're 225 episodes in on this one.
Yeah.
And how do I edit it? And I was like, I don't know. I've never edited my own podcast. Because right from the beginning, I enjoy technology, but I knew from the beginning that this wasn't necessarily going to be the best use of my time. So I'm so grateful that there are people out there who I can hand that off to, and who are really good at their craft, so I can stay in my lane. But here's where I want to start, David. I feel as though podcasting, as I mentioned at the beginning, is everyone is starting a podcast.
Yeah.
Can you just give us a sense of the landscape with respect to podcasts? How many new podcasts are getting started? Is this market actually, is it saturated or are there opportunities out there?
Okay. So the landscape right now, I think is, even though it seems like it's saturated, it's just starting to blossom. That's the reality of things. There are millions of podcasts. I was speaking to one of the to the director of communications of Podbean, which is one of the main podcast hosting companies, and she was telling me they host over 5 million podcast shows. Like, that's one of the companies. So like, there are millions of shows. Of course, I mean, this includes podcasts in a lot of languages and a lot of, like, broad range of topics. However, this is just getting started. The industry is growing, particularly in the area of health and wellness. I think health and wellness is one of the main industries in podcasting right now, because it's all about having conversations and sharing experience and transformational experiences mainly. And if there is saturation, I mean, there is going to be saturation in every single medium you use. There is never going to be like this a space where it's you and no more. If you go on TikTok, if you go on Instagram, if you go on YouTube or blogging or wherever you go, there's always going to be saturation. It's just making sure or looking for the strategy of how you can make yourself stand out. I think, most of it or part of it is, as maybe you've heard before, like finding a niche and trying to create your own space within that niche. That's one thing. And the other thing, and this is very important, and maybe that person listening right now should take note, is you have to think of the long-term game. Because a podcast is not like a Facebook ad that is like you publish it and you're going to be getting conversions after a week or 2 weeks or a month. No, this is going to take you at least a year to start seeing results. And from then on, it's going to take more time to see the conversions, because the objective of the show is not just creating conversions, but also building authority, building trust, and creating network. And going back, I'm sorry, I jumped topics a little bit here. Going back to the growth of the podcast industry, as a producer, I can notice like the big difference in the last 2 or 3 years of how the industry is evolving, not just in terms of the content, but also in terms of the technology and software. Today, okay, we are like, Megan and I, we are recording on Zencastr right now. This is new. Zencastr is a new thing, is a new solution. Also, Megan, I love your microphone. Like, the microphone you have, it's a new microphone. It's a Shure SV2, I don't remember the name very well. And it's designed specifically for podcasting. So we have a lot of different industries that are converging now towards podcasting. So it's not just like people creating content, it's everybody around, like people who create software, people who create microphones, people who create like videos. So they are converging here, and it's just starting to grow.
Yeah, no, I can feel that. And for me, certainly, the podcast has been a long game exercise in my business. And I will often say to individuals when they're first starting out, and we're going to talk about that, what do I need to know when I first get started, is having some element of clarity on what you want that podcast to do for you and for your business. And I caution people against this idea of, oh, I'm going to get ad revenue from it. Like, maybe in 10 years, but not right away. And so the extent of clarity that I had when I started my podcast was I actually just wanted an excuse to have conversations with compelling individuals. So, you know, I've shared this before. I'm not the person at a conference who's going to walk up to the keynote speaker afterwards and just say, hey, keynote speaker, I just thought you were great. Like, to me, that's not a conversation. It's sort of this fangirl moment. And I was never that person because I didn't know what to do with it. But now I will walk up to that keynote speaker and say, hey, keynote speaker, I thought that was great. I'm Megan. I have a podcast. I think you'd be really well positioned on it. And now we can actually open the doors to having a relationship. That was the extent of my intention for my podcast. And because I stuck with it, we've had lots of other options and opportunities that have that have come about. And so notwithstanding, you need a clear intention around getting your podcast mm-hmm. started. On that technical side, David, what do people need to know? Like, what should that initial checklist look like when they're like, all right, I'm starting a podcast. I kind of, like Megan, kind of know why I'm going to get started. I'm committed to moving this forward. I don't know what I don't know. What are my next steps?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So once you figured out the purpose of the show, and that is a long-term game, the technical side, it's rather easy to figure out. Some people usually are deterred or are very stressed about like this side. And even though they have everything else cleared out, they do not move on because they are scared of the tech. It's actually pretty easy. Nowadays, you can just get a USB microphone, so you're not gonna need extra hardware or extra wires or extra anything. You just need a microphone, and that's it. There's one thing I'd recommend though, which is get a dynamic microphone. There are different types of microphones. A lot of people buy the Blue Yeti. I will say don't go for the Blue Yeti. It looks great. It looks like R2-D2 from Star Wars. It looks really cute. The design is beautiful. But it's not the best microphone out there particularly for a beginning podcaster, because it's very sensitive. So it's going to catch your voice, but it's going to catch all the external noise and all the echo and everything that's around. So it's not going to sound very nice. So I would recommend to get a dynamic microphone, okay? Particularly a USB dynamic microphone. There is a very popular one, which is the Audio-Technica ATR2100. Which is the one Pat Flynn uses a lot. I think most of us.
I use that forever.
Yeah, it's a beautiful mic. It's going to last you for years. It's built like a tank. You can hammer nails with it. I mean, it's a great mic. It's going to last you forever. And there are others from then on, which are pretty affordable, by the way. You don't have to break the bank. So that's on the microphone side. Please buy a microphone. Please, please, please.
Buy a microphone.
Yes. Some people go out. I'm okay with my AirPods. I'm okay with my Skyping headset. I'm okay with my laptop's built-in mic. No, you're not. It's like you're going to somebody's office and the office looks shabby, dirty, and like disorganized or messy. It's just the same with audio. Like, people should come to your podcast and listen to great quality audio, because you're podcasting not as a hobby, you're podcasting for a business and you're a professional. So your sound needs to be professional. So that in terms of the audio, and in terms of where to host the files, you're going to need a special service for hosting your podcast files, which is a podcast hosting service. There are several very good companies that offer this. Like your hosting at GoDaddy or Bluehost or like your web hosting is not going to work for this. It has to be specialized hosting. There are services like Podbean, Libsyn, Buzzsprout, and others. They are pretty affordable and they provide all the systems you need to upload your shows and distribute them to iTunes and Spotify and everywhere else online. So these are the two pillars. You have other small things around that. For example, you're going to need a cover art, which is like the image or the logo or what is going to represent your show. You can always change that, by the way. So some people are very concerned about like, oh, I don't like the colors. I don't like the design. Just get started. Create something. Get started. You can change it afterwards. It takes 2 minutes to change it. You got to also pick the music. The music is going to be important because it's going to be like the branding. It's like when you sit down, you watch your favorite TV show or your favorite Netflix show, you listen to the music, you get in the mood to pay attention to that content. So it's going to be very important. So yeah, in a nutshell, microphone, like a real microphone, not AirPods, podcast hosting account, the cover art, and music.
Yeah, and I'm just going to say, for those of you who are like, I'm not ready to start a show, but I want to be a guest on a show, it makes a huge difference if you've got a mic and you are a guest. I had this really well-known person, and she was coming on the show, and she got on and she's like, so sorry, you know, like I'm doing the podcast on my bed today, and she had papers all over, she was moving, and she kept hitting the wire for her AirPods. I never aired it. It was such a bad user experience for my listeners that we actually never released the podcast. Mm-hmm. And I was disappointed because it was a great conversation. But I also, for me, it was also part of her brand. I was really disappointed that she would show up, and the experience was so unprofessional. So, you know, for those of you who are like, huh, I would really love to leverage a podcast where I'm a guest and I'm an effective guest. It's really worth the $150 to have an Audio Technica mic. You can order it off of Amazon or any other place that you want to order it from. But it makes a huge difference as a guest on that show as well. So just a plug on both sides of the experience.
Yeah, totally. Actually, I think in terms of hardware, a microphone is part of your business assets. You're not going to be using it just for your podcast. If you ever have a Zoom call, for example, like one thing is using your earphones or your AirPods, and another thing is using a microphone. So it's going to give you a more professional look if you are on a one-to-one coaching session, if you are on a virtual summit, if you are on a Facebook Live, if you are on a webinar. Like, there are so many applications you can use the microphone for. It's going to be super useful, and it's going to last you for years. Like, you can think, oh, it's $200. It's so expensive. Or no, this mic I have, I can be using this microphone for 10 years easily.
Yeah, it's absolutely an investment in your business and in your brand. There's certain things you spend money on, there's certain things you don't, and your sound is one of those really imperative pieces. David, I'm wondering, because you've got this incredible podcast, the Audience Coach Show. I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit about, because I know you will have had this experience in conversations, a little bit about this idea of like show hacking. How do we get our podcast heard by more people? What are some of the effective things that you are hearing out in the industry in terms of, this person's doing this and this person's doing this? These are some really effective things I've seen done.
Mm-hmm. Yes. There is a common topic that has come up from our research and from the conversations we've been having with other people. And the best way is to leverage other people's audiences. This means be a guest on other people's podcast shows. I think this is the best way you can do that. There is like all the other ways that you are going to find everywhere. You go on social media, go on lives, et cetera, et cetera. You can do those as well. But so far, the most effective one is being a guest on other people's shows. There are two reasons for that. One of them is, it's going to sound redundant, but podcast listeners listen to podcasts. Like, it's most likely that people are going to connect to your content if they come from an audio-only format, that if they find you on a visual format, like, for example, Instagram or on a video show. So that's one thing. And the other thing is going to help you build authority. Like, people are listening to a show they already trust, and they are going to listen to you there. So that means you earn part of that trust. And they are going to connect with you more easily, and they're going to connect with your content more easily. And what you have to offer to them is going to be accepted more openly. So yeah, I think that's the work we've been doing most hard. That's what I've been working the hardest on, is getting featured on other podcast shows. But there is something very important here. Do it as an act of service. And I learned this from a conversation I had with a coach. His name is George Cao. It's an act of service. Like, do not go as a guest to a podcast show, like trying to sell something or trying to push your brand, trying to push your services or products. Don't do that. Go there trying to offer the best you can for that podcast show's audience.
Yeah. You know, I've had guests on the show where I'd ask them a question like, great question, Megan. If people go to my website and they enter their email address, they'll totally get this guide for that. And I am pulling my hair out. I had one person, and like four or five times in the show, she made reference to go and sign up for something on her site. And I was like, I just need you to answer one of the questions. So I couldn't agree more around this idea of acts of service. And you know, this idea of getting onto other people's shows, absolutely. I remember having this conversation with John Lee Dumas at an event we were at, and I was like, okay, get real with me. Like, how many shows are you on a month in terms of increasing your listenership? And he was like, I'm usually like 25 to 50 shows a month I'll show up on, and like just batch them out. And I was like, okay, your whole career is podcast. So realistically, for me to grow up my show, he's like, you should aim for 10. Like, if you can get on 10 podcasts a month, your show will grow. And even that, I was like, okay, like I have another company, but it really stuck with me, because I think sometimes we do this thing in business in general where we go through the motions, right? We're like, oh, I heard this, I should get on someone else's podcast. But like, you really need to make a decision that you want to grow your show and you're going to get on other people's podcasts. It's not, I'm going to do one or two. It's like, no, that is one of your strategies, and you make time and space to deploy that strategy in your business. But I love hearing that from you, because at the end of the day, all the different things we can come up with, you just have to get on other people's shows.
Totally. And I think it also points to something important when you're growing a business, and it's the numbers are a consequence of something else. And that something else is actually having that one-on-one conversation with somebody else, connecting with the person, not thinking of the people in terms of numbers, like how many followers, how many sales, how much revenue I'm making, but the connections I can make with people, how much I can support other people, how I can help them grow. And just having conversations. I think this is the key of it. And that's why podcasts are so strong, because it's having conversation. Like if I were where you're based, like you're based in Toronto, I could be in Toronto. We could be having a coffee, not recording this interview, but the value we'll be getting will be a lot. Well, now we're having that same conversation, but we are sharing that value with other people. So that's key. And the other thing is, as we mentioned earlier on, being a guest on other shows helps a lot with growth, but it takes a long time. It takes time. It's going to take months. For example, we are recording now, or you are a guest and you get your interview recorded, but that interview is going to probably get published 4 weeks after it was recorded. So it takes time.
Yeah, it absolutely takes time. It's back to this idea that it's a long game. But, you know, I'm just going to be honest, as someone who's been in business a long time, I don't know any short games. Like there's a few times where we've taken big risks and we've seen a jump, but I'm not going to build a business on risk after risk after risk. I'm going to punctuate risks with a series of tried and true things, so that I don't want to live my life way out to that extreme. So, you know, this shouldn't come as one, a surprise or be something that holds people back. Mm-hmm. This is actually just the truth of any quality piece of work that you're going to put out into the world. It's going to take time.
Yes. There is no glamorous like Dubai trips or stuff like that overnight. It's a lot of hard work and patience. And sometimes it's an emotional roller coaster. Like the downloads go up and you're so happy. And then the downloads go down and you're like, oh my God, I'm not going to go on with this. But then you just keep moving forward.
What makes a great show, in your opinion?
Okay. I think there are probably two or three key elements here. First of all, you got to identify your audience, okay? And you need to identify where your skills and knowledge match your audience's needs and wants. So that's going to be key here. That audience should be narrow, ideally, because the broader you go, I mean, if you want to help somebody, like you're a health specialist, right? So the better you get to know your patient, because your patient has a particular medical situation, the better you get to know that patient, the better you can help him or her. But if you just go like you're not a specialist, you want to treat everybody the same way, you're not going to be able to help them. So find an audience that is like narrow, a niche audience, get to know them as best, the best you can, and try to see or identify which of your skills match their needs and wants. So that's one thing. The other thing, in order to make it a great show, is address their problems as sharply as you can. Because sometimes I've seen so many interviews that are just like random conversations. So they go around and around and around. Like they cover so many topics, but they say nothing in depth at the end. So make sure your interviews are well-structured, well-prepared, and they revolve around a single particular topic that aims to help the audience solve a problem or achieve a goal. So that's very important. And I think the other part will be have fun. I think it will be have fun. A lot of making a podcast is being your true self, and letting people resonate with what you are. Some people are going to resonate with it. Some people are not. That's just fine. I mean, I can cover the same topic as many other podcast shows around in the industry, but some people are going to resonate with my strategy or my style, and they are not going to resonate with other people, okay? I'm going to give you an example, like in a different setting. I used to be an English teacher, okay? I used to teach English as a foreign language. Like, we were a lot of different teachers. We were teaching exactly the same book, exactly the same topics. So some of the students will resonate with one of the teachers, and they will be like very attentive and very active. And sometimes they will not be a very, very attentive and very active with some of the other teachers. Okay. So that changes. That changes depending on who you are. So just like be yourself. And of course, to get there, you need to get out of your comfort zone. Like, I'm an introvert. So for me, it was like a shock therapy to sit down in front of a microphone, like have conversations with strangers. Like, it's tough at the beginning. But now it's like very entertaining and very fun.
It is really fun. This is one of the highlights of my week, is having the opportunity to do these interviews. I like this rapid fire nature, because I do feel like when you're first starting a podcast, you really are in this beginner's mind, and you don't know what you don't know. You don't know what makes it great. We get caught up in the details. We think it's my intro music and it's all the technical pieces. And sometimes it's actually just your capacity to sit down and have a conversation with someone. Yeah. Without it feeling contrived and without it feeling, you know, scripted. Mm-hmm. And we talked at the beginning and I said, what would make this a successful show for you? And you said, let's just have fun. And I was like, great, because those are always our best shows. You know, now speaking of best shows, I'd love for you to benchmark people, because one of the things I have found is that if we don't know what numbers actually mean something is doing well, or we don't know where we're aiming, we're sometimes totally overshooting and we're thinking, this isn't, you know, I could be doing better, and someone informs you you're doing great. And then sometimes we're like, I got 4 downloads. This is fantastic. But, you know, we've got some room to grow. Can we benchmark a little bit in terms of, you know, what are we seeing in terms of the top shows and the number of downloads that people are able to achieve? How long do most shows last in the marketplace? How many episodes do people get to? What are some of the stats that inform the landscape of podcasting? Because I suspect a lot of things get started and don't necessarily get finished.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So this is a very broad question, because podcasting is a platform, and within that platform, you have a lot of different industries and a lot of different topics that behave differently. So like, if we are speaking about podcasting for entertainment, like if it's a comedy show, it's going to be different. If we talk about a podcast that deals with history, or a podcast that deals with nutrition, or a podcast that deals with, I don't know, let's say, just people, like as a hobby, the people just having conversation because they like to have conversations and get them recorded. So that will depend on that. So each industry and each niche will behave differently. So this is very important, because we tend to compare apples and bananas. Okay. So we want to compare ourselves to Joe Rogan, but the kind of topic we cover and the kind of guests we have and our niche is no Joe Rogan. So like, we are not going to have a million downloads per week, because our podcast deals with very different objectives and audience. So you have to bear that in mind. So you, like, if you want to have a point of reference, look for other shows and other creators in your industry. So that's going to be a very important thing. Now, if we move on to the numbers might vary depending on, I think one very important thing here is, do you have a pre-existing audience? Some people start from scratch. Great like point. We started from scratch. It's been a very painful way, but it's been very, very enjoyable. So our growth has been quite slow because we had no pre-existing audience. I mean, we had no activity on Instagram. We had no activity on social media because we were taking care mostly of the back end of the podcast shows in the podcast production work. If you already have Instagram following, or you have a large email list, it's gonna be very easy to get good numbers from the start. For example, I have a client who on her first episode got, like the first week, got 3,500 downloads. Like it's a new show, and she gets 5,000 downloads per week in average.
Wow.
Because she's a writer and she had a pre-existing audience.
Right.
Others need more time to grow. But I think after 6 to 8 months, you can think about like having a 200 to 300 downloads per month in average. I mean, like if you're aiming, like it depends on the size of your niche as well. But I think that will be a good number to start with. And that means you need to focus a lot on promoting the content, okay? It's not just putting the content out there and the algorithm. No, there is no algorithm on iTunes. There is no algorithm on Spotify. You need to work on promoting the show. So focus 20% on production, 80% on promotion and being guests on other podcast shows. So going back to the numbers, I think 300 downloads per month in the first 6 months to 8 months will be a good number. And from there, it should start growing slowly or quickly, depending on how much work you put into promotion and how receptive the audience is to what you are publishing. Now, in terms of how many episodes, and this is the thing, that's why Joe Pulizzi, who is a content marketer, says content marketing or creating content is a war of attrition. A lot of people create podcasts and they do not go beyond the 10th episode. Like a lot, like most podcasts you see out there, they will go, maybe like 20% of them will go beyond the 10th episode, and just a fraction of that will go beyond the 20th episode, and just a few will continue after that. How long should a podcast last? I think as long as your business exists, because creating content is not an end. It is a means to an end. It's a continuum that, like, you should constantly be creating content, be offering value to your audience. And this is the thing, Megan, like the market is always changing. Your audience is always changing. Like the type of audience, the type of clients you had a year ago are not the same people like you have now. They don't have the same problems. They don't have the same needs. So if you have a podcast, you're going to be constantly updating what you know, what you have to offer. And this is something I love, particularly for health and wellness practitioners. A podcast, like creating a podcast, is a way to self-reflect. It's a way to reflect on your own practice, because you have to be constantly analyzing what you're doing, what you're thinking, the approaches you have, and the changes in the market.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I had a guest on earlier and we were talking just about that, about, you know, science evolves and the information mm-hmm. that we were taught in school shouldn't be relevant in most cases anymore. It's how do we critically think? You know, as a clinician, there's an endless stream of content that I believe you could add to a podcast. I've shared this before with my own audience, that I would sit in my practice with patients with a specific notebook for content. And when people asked a great question, I would actually write it in my book, because if my patients were asking that question, I know there were more people asking that question. So people ask all the time, like, how did you just constantly come up with this content that people were really interested in? And I was like, it was given to me. I didn't come up with it. Like mm-hmm. it was handed to me on a silver platter. So, you know, I think part of content creation, we get worried sometimes that it's about, you know, I don't know what to say. I've got to put all this stuff out there. And I actually feel like a huge part of content creation is listening effectively to what people need. It's a massive part of any conversation is really engaging on that listening side. David, I'm wondering if you could share with people, what do you wish you could just impart to new podcasters who are getting started? Those pieces of advice where you're like, oh, you're listening to podcasts, you're like, I just wish I'd had my hands on you 6 months earlier, because we would have saved you from doing this. Or if we could just clean up that habit, what are some of the things that, you know, from your producer lens, you wish you could just change the conversation around?
Okay. So I think the first thing I would have done with my show is start at least 8 months earlier. I think I gave it too much thought, and we should have started a lot earlier, because it takes time, one, to build the audience, and two, to develop the skills you need to run a podcast show, because it's the recording, how to have the conversations, how to manage the workflow, how to create the social media assets, how to do the promotion, all this. So first of all, start earlier. I think that's something we could have done better. The other thing for a new podcaster, I think, will be the mindset. It's going to suck at the beginning and you got to be okay with it. I think luckily I already had that mindset from back when I was a teacher. So I was familiar with the learning processes. So I knew like at the beginning, you're going to be like robotic or stressed out. Or you're going to be mumbling a lot. That's completely normal, but you're going to be okay with it because in order to get or to become better, you need to go through these stages and through these learning. So you're going to suck at the beginning. It's going to be okay. You're going to be okay with it. And the funny thing is, you think you're going to suck and you're going to listen to yourself. You're going to complain a lot. But when other people listen to the content, they're going to go like, what are you talking about? This sounds great.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's like that self-judgment, like that self-sabotage thing. Yeah. So like maybe you just got to punch the ego in the face and let yourself be yourself. And allow yourself to make mistakes. Like there is no other way to improvement other than making mistakes and learning from them. And the other thing will be connect with people. Connect with people, having the conversations, one-on-one conversation. Not focus so much. Oh, of course, they are important. Like numbers, download numbers, follower numbers are important. But they are a consequence of something else. Okay, you don't get to them just out of the blue. You need to have those one-on-one conversations first, connect with people, offer value, okay? Always be in a mind of, or in a mindset of giving, in a position of giving right. And collaborating with other people, because that's how you get to connect. I think podcasting is a matter of just connecting with people and having very, very nice conversations.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. And, you know, the number one is interesting because the thing I found most valuable about my numbers were not necessarily watching total downloads, although those are great numbers. It's actually looking at the topics of individual episodes, because mm-hmm. there were a few episodes where, to be honest, I was listening to this. I'm like, I'm kind of bored with this conversation. I'm a little worried about how this is going to go. And yet, we had huge numbers on some of these shows. And so it was a really great reminder to me, one, that my audience is not always in the same place that I am. Mm-hmm. So sometimes like, I want to go really deep on a conversation. It's actually not what my audience needs. Yes. So I think looking at those numbers, like drop your ego at the door when you're doing that and actually look at those numbers from a place of value, not just I'm chasing a score, but like really understand what they mean, because it, you know, for us, it really informs the kind of guests that we have on the show, the types of topics that we tackle and how deep we go. Sometimes we go really deep and sometimes we stay a little bit more superficial and we watch what happens with respect to those numbers. So, you know, look at your data through a lens of someone who wants to improve, not necessarily just chasing a score on the scoreboard. David, these are amazing pieces of advice. I feel like we've covered a large breadth of things. How do we need to get started? What things do we need to keep in mind? Some of those elements that will enable a show to be successful, and then some of the pieces that we need to be mindful of in order for our show to have some element of longevity. I feel like this is a great place to transition the interview. And I have a series of questions that I ask. I call these our KPIs. So just like we have key performance indicators in our business, I believe that we have them in how we live our lives as well. And so I've got a few rapid fire questions for you if will indulge me.
Okay, I'm nervous. Let's see.
Don't be nervous. There's no math. That would throw me off. If someone suddenly threw math questions at me, I'd be like, peace out. I'm off your show. Okay, first question. What is your most recommended book so far this year?
I'm reading one by Joe Dispenza. I have been putting it off for a while. Was that? Let me remember the name of the title. Like, I know the name of the title in Spanish. What's the name? Stop Being Yourself.
I love Joe Dispenza.
Oh my God. Just let me Google it really quick. Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself.
Breaking the habit of being yourself.
Yeah, yeah,
classic.
Yeah.
Classic, yeah. Joe Dispenza for sure. What is your favorite health hack?
I don't know if it's a hack or not. Just mindful breathing. I think it's something that has helped me a lot. Yeah, just if you do it for 10 minutes a day, it's helped me a lot to reduce or at least control my anxiety levels, because like sometimes I get very anxious. And to understand what's going on within myself, like sometimes you react to something or you're angry or you are like stressed out, like you don't know why. So it's helped me a lot to identify what's going on within my mind and to clear out those emotions and make better decisions.
Amazing. How would you define your purpose?
My purpose? Oh my God, that's a hard one.
These aren't easy.
Yeah, I think I'm still on in the way or in the process of defining it. I am a dad. So I think when you're a dad, a lot of your purpose revolves around giving your kids and giving yourself, of course, the best quality of life you can. Not in terms of money, but in terms of like how you raise your kids, what values they have, what mindset they have for life, and living a nice life. Like, I'm not concerned about like getting a Bugatti or a Ferrari. I don't care about any of those things. I see myself like living a calm life in a farmhouse, like surrounded by coffee trees, coffee bushes. So I think I'm still defining that.
And that's okay. I think that's a beautiful thing about purpose, is that there is that evolution, and it's a big question. Mm-hmm. And lastly, entrepreneurism. Are we born this way, or do we learn to become entrepreneurs?
I think you can learn to become an entrepreneur. Actually, I was raised in a mindset of being an employee. Both my parents are school teachers. They have been school teachers for all of their life. So I was raised with the mindset of, you got to go to school, you got to go to university, become a professional, get your degree, and then go to a company or to somewhere else, and you got to work there until the day you die. So I did that for a time. I was a university professor for quite some time. But then I realized it was not the thing for me. I was not happy. I had achieved all the growth I had to achieve, and I had to go through a very painful mindset shift. Because I think like even the good things like derive some, like all transformations are painful in some way or another. But here I am. Yeah, like you can become an entrepreneur. You just have to like jump into it and not look back.
You just have to jump. I feel like that is the motto of entrepreneurship. David Perez, it was a pleasure having you on the podcast. Where can I direct people to learn more about the work you're doing in the world?
Yes, you can find us on everywhere you listen to podcasts. Okay, the Audience Coach podcast. So we are on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, everywhere else. And if you need, for example, like support or help with creating your podcast, we have some free and paid resources on our website. That is audiencecoach.com/resources. There you're going to have like templates. You're going to have documents and videos and other stuff to help you start or run your podcast show.
Fantastic, David. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you very much, Megan. It was a pleasure.
I hope you enjoyed that episode of the Entrepology Podcast with David Perez as much as I did. He was so great at giving us tangible pieces that we could action right away. Now, speaking of action and being able to access things like our show notes and all of the links that we talk about in our episodes, I am super excited to share that finally, I mean, like we've been working on this forever. Finally, we have updated my website, meganwalker.com, and we have indexed and made our podcast infinitely more searchable. You're going to be able to access the show notes from our episode today. In fact, the show notes for our 225 plus episodes by heading over to meganwalker.com/podcast, where you can catch all of the episodes we have previously recorded. So whether you are interested in mindset, health, or business acumen, we have got you covered over at my new website, meganwalker.com. I'd love to know what you think of it. You can check out my Instagram account, where we're going to be running a poll this week to see whether or not you have checked out this week's show notes. We've got some really exciting episodes coming up over the next few weeks. We're really delving into the stories of female entrepreneurs, looking at some of the really compelling and incredible businesses they have been able to build, and understanding the balance and the mindset and the health pieces that go into making those elements of their businesses a success. As always, I'm Megan Walker. I'm wishing you an impactful week ahead, and we'll see you again next Tuesday.